Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Mem Dalet. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach at Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the Ovid. Says the Mishnah, Shleich HaChoshel Shleich Yab B'Kodim. If somebody has a mind to do Shlichas Yad, he said that he's going to do Shlichas Yad. B'Shamay Amrim, at that point, we know that when a Shomer is Shleich Yad, we've been discussing he's chayiv in Einzim. Says the Gemara, at that point, he becomes chayiv by Einzim. Beisel's opinion, however, is, ain't a chayiv, he's not chayiv, until he actually does the shlichus yad. Shnemam, as the Apostle said, em lo shalach yodoi b'mlachas reihu, he actually had to do the shlichus yad. And Rashi says, a chayiv means that not just that he had a machshava, not just that he decided to do it, but Rashi said that he actually verbalized that he's going to be shleich yad. So Rashi is teaching us that there is no shlichus yad just by machshava. Everybody agrees there has to be a dibur. The Ramban disagrees, and so says the Ramban. But the Ritva says, if that's the case, why does it say HaChoshev? If it means that you're speaking, shouldn't have said that you said so. So explains the Ritva that even though he and Rashi and the Ramban agree that you have to verbalize, but their opinion is you only need to verbalize between you and yourself. But the question is, if there's no need for Edim to have heard you verbalize that you want to be shleich yad, so how would we know that that was your intention? So Ritva says it's referring to a situation where the person, the shliach, said that he wants to be shleich yad, and he didn't think anybody heard him, but there were people that heard him. However, in other places, Masech the Kedushin, and other places, the Rashi says that you don't need to verbalize it, just thinking about it would be adequate. And this, of course, opens up a question in other areas of halacha as well. What would be the halacha when you want to do by kachim? The halacha we know we're going to learn, the kachim masechtas are replete with discussions about pigel. What would be the halacha? Does a carbon become pigel if the kohen just had a machshava to make the carbon pigel? Or does he have to verbalize that machshava? It's actually a machlokes rishonim. Moreover, the halacha is that there are mitzvahs that have to be done lishma. And there's a question, do you fulfill that mitzvah that you have to do lishma just by saying it, or just by thinking it, or do you have to verbalize it? The Ratva's opinion is that you have to verbalize any mitzvah that has to be davened b'lishma has to be verbalized. However, he says that b'di'evit, if you didn't verbalize it, it would still be acceptable. The Mishnah Berurah says that when somebody, for example, is making tzitzis, he should say out loud, l'shei mitzvah tzitzis. The Netziv says that you don't have to say l'shei mitzvah tzitzis, a machshava alone is enough. And this is really the basis for the minig, particularly in the Hasidic community, where people, before they do a mitzvah, say lishma. Because we don't want to rely that the mitzvah is considered automatically that you did a lishma, unless you verbalize that you want to do lishma. But there's the famous tshuva from the Noida Behuda. Noida Behuda says that stam lishma. The assumption is that when somebody wants to do a mitzvah, he means to do it lishma. The Ber Maim Chaim disagrees, and the Ber Maim Chaim says that just like when he says that before you eat a food, you make a bracha, and he says the bracha serves as the verbalization, and of course a bracha has to be said. A bracha can't just be thought, and that's why the Ber Maim Chaim disagrees with the Noida Behuda, and he was a very, very big proponent of saying the L'Shem Yichud. The Tzais asks another question. Here, the Mishnah Beis Hillel says, "Ein achayv ad sheyishlo po yad." Asks the Tzais, why, as soon as this person decided to be shaleach yad, should it not be considered his from a concept that we often discuss in our shiurim, and that is the concept of kinyan chotzer. And since he wants to use it for his own purpose, at that point, he should be considered that his chotzer makes it his, as we know is the case by a ganef. So the Tzai says a very nice chiddush. The Tzai says, when somebody leaves something with me to shomer to watch, what's included in that situation is that I'm giving him a place in my home where he could keep that object. So that part of the home where the object is really belongs to him now. And only where I pick it up and take it to another place does it become mine, according to Beis Hillel. Another pshat is that the Achronim want to suggest that since when it was originally brought to this chotzer, it was brought properly because this person agreed to be the shomer of this object. Since it was brought under those circumstances, at that point it remains kinyan chotzer cannot kick in. Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Sefer Beis Oitzer say the machloikis that we have in our Gemara here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is really a machloikis that we find elsewhere. Because the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'chatchila originally wanted to create the world with Midas Hadin, but when he saw that the world cannot exist with the Midas Hadin, and that's why the Pasuk says Bereishis Bara Elokim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that that's not the way the world could exist, so he added the Midas Harachmim, as the Pasuk continues to say, B'yoyim Asois Hashem Lakim Eretz V'Shamayim. So Beis Shammai go with the Machshava. Beis Shammai, we know, are always stricter. What's included in understanding that Beis Shammai are always stricter? They follow the Midas Hadin. The Midas Hadin that was first evident in the world was evident by Machshava. So that's why Beis Shammai follows the Machshava. Beis Hillel, we know, are always more lenient. They represent the Midas Harachmim. When we speak about Midas Harachmim, they don't just follow a Machshav alone, they follow a Maisa. And therefore, they did not consider Shleich Yad until you actually do a Maisa. And actually, the Mishnah Masech Parah discusses if somebody had a mind to drink from the meichatas, from the water, which is a mixture of the paraduma ash and the imayim chayim. The Mishnah Masech Parah, Perek Tes, Mishnah Dalet, says, Rebbe Elazar says, right away, that water becomes disqualified. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is that only when you actually turned over the keli. And the explanation is, because Rebbe Elazar, we know, is a Shamuti. Rebbe Elazar is from the Talmidei Beis Shammai. And therefore, they say as soon as there was a machshava to drink from that paraduma water, it becomes disqualified. Rabbi Yeshua, who was from the Talmidei Beis Hillel, then obviously of the opinion that a machshava is not adequate, and therefore, since the machshava is not enough, that's why you have to actually do something. That means you have to turn over the keli. I saw that there are mafarshim that connect a famous machloikus between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel to the same machloikus. The Gemara Masechta Beya, Daf Tez Zayin Amar Aleph, tells us, Tanya Amar Olav Al Shammai Azakei, they said regarding Shammai Azakei, Kol Yomav, his entire life, Hayoichel Kvoy Shabbos. He was always eating, says the Gemara, L'Kavod Shabbos. What does that mean? Matzah Behemina, if he found a nice animal, Amar, he would say Zulu Shabbos. He would say, this animal I'm putting away for Shabbos. Matzah Cheres Noa Mimena, if he found afterwards a nicer animal, what would he do? Menich Seshniya, he would leave the second animal, V'oichas Rishona, and then eat the first animal. Avil Hil HaZakai, Mida Cheres Hayaloi. Chida Hil HaZakai had a very different approach. The Gemara says, Shkom Masa L'Shem Shemayim. So, the Mefarshim ask, it's inconceivable to say that Beis Shammai also did not have a Kavod Shemayim Machshava. And not only is it difficult to accept that Beis Shammai did not have a Kavod Shemayim Machshava, it seems that Beis Shammai is also, that what Beis Shammai did, that he spent his entire week thinking about Shabbos, should be considered preferable. And I did see that there are poskim that suggest that even Beis Hillel agree that Beis Shammai's approach is better. They're just not requiring that we do what Beis Shammai said, but they agree that conceptually Beis Shammai, what Beis Shammai suggests is better. So I saw that the pshat is, because according to Beis Shammai, how are they acting L'Kavod Shabbos? Their actions of L'Kavod Shabbos were really based on a machshava. And in our Mishnah, we learn that Beis Shammai's opinion is that a machshava is adequate. And that's why Beis Shammai says there in Masechta Beya, just thinking all week that I'm going to eat L'Kavod Shabbos is enough. Beis Hillel says having a machshava of L'Kavod Shabbos wouldn't make a difference, because we're learning in our Mishnah, we've quoted now other Mishnayos, that Beis Hillel's opinion is that a machshava alone is not enough. Since Beis Hillel's opinion is that a machshava alone isn't enough, that approach that Beis Shammai suggests that we take doesn't really help. So if according to if that approach doesn't really help, therefore Beis Hillel's opinion is we might as well not, there's no need to do it. Says the Mishnah further, Hita as a chavis. If somebody took the barrel that was left with him, the notlam and a revius, and he took a revius, the nishbara, and then it broke, so says the Mishnah, enem sham el revius. He only has to pay for the revius that he took, but he's not responsible for the rest of the barrel of wine, because he never really picked up the barrel of wine, he just tilted it. And since he never picked it up, so therefore, he never had a kinyan in that barrel. And if he didn't have a kinyan in that barrel, the halacha is that he's not responsible only for what he took. However, higbia, if he actually lifted that barrel, for not liman a revius, and then he took a revius, and then it broke, so then he has to pay, says the Mishnah, Misham Dmei Kula, he has to pay the value of the entire barrel, because by picking up the barrel, he became the owner of the barrel, and therefore anything that happens to anything in that barrel, he will be responsible. So we had this machloikis, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, is a machshava to be shaleich yad enough, or do you have to actually be shaleich yad? Ask the Gemara, anonymously, ask the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikis of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel? Says the Gemara, the Tanur Rabbonin, the Pasuk says, I called Va Pasha, Ashar Chama Aseh Asama, Kol Aveda Kishayim Kuzeh, Ad Alakim Yovid Vashneim, The Pasuk, by using the words Al-Kol Dvar, is teaching out the Melamed Shebchayiv HaMachshava. Just Kol, any Machshava to be Shleich Yad is enough. Whereas Beis Hillel's opinion is that you have to actually be Shleich Yad, which represents that you actually did Shlichus Yad. But they ask, what are you going to do with the pasuk that taught us a kol dvar pesha? Beis Hillel reply, doesn't the pasuk say, im lo yishlolach yodai b'mlachas re'eyu? You have to do shlichas yad. And therefore, since you have to do shlichas yad, then yechayiv. Im kain, ask the Gemara, if that's the case, what do we learn from the Pasuk called Vapesha? We would think that he's only Chayim B'Shlichus Yad if the person who is the Shomer is did the Shlichus Yad. However, if he asks somebody else that they should do the Shlichus Yad, how do we know that it's considered an act of Shlichus Yad? Tamaloymer, a kol dvar pesha, that's included in being considered shlichus yad. But from here we're learning that even though throughout halacha there's a concept of en shlich l'dvar aveira, the pasuk according to Beis Hillel, a kol dvar pesha, says that shlichus yad is an exception to that rule, and there is shlich l'dvar aveira when we speak about shlichus yad. So here we have a serious machlokes between the Shach and the Nesivos. The Shach says that although we just learned that the Shliach will be responsible for Shlichus Yad, what would be the halacha if the Shliach doesn't have the ability to pay for this object? Then the halacha will be, says, well, that the Shomer is responsible, but says the Shach, if the Shomer can't pay, then the Shliach does have to pay. The Nesivos disagrees with the Shach, and he says that halachically, it's difficult to say that two people should have the same responsibility. And therefore, if the Pasuk here is teaching us that the Shomer is held responsible, what the Torah means to teach us by saying that the Shomer is responsible, that the Shomer is solely responsible. And what the Gemara, and what the Pasuk is teaching us, according to Beis Hillel, is that if the Shomer can't pay, then we will not go after the Shliach to pay. We learned further in the Mishnah, Hitas Achavis, if somebody tilted the barrel and took out from it a revius, and then the barrel broke, that he's only chayiv for the revius that he took out. Amar Rava, lo shanu ala nishbara. This halach is only if it broke. So he won't be responsible for what else is left in the barrel if he only tilted it. Avel echmitza, if the rest of the barrel, what was left in the barrel, became sour, everybody will agree Mishamas kuli pays for the balance of what was left in the barrel. My tama, because gira de dehu de hanile, it's his fault that it got spoiled. Because as Rashi explains, when you have wine in a barrel which is not completely full, it's going to spoil quickly. And therefore, since he caused that by tilting and removing this revius, he caused that that the rest of the barrel should become sour, and the halacha is that he will be held responsible for the balance if that happened. Higbeva Nathan Menu. We learned further, however he actually did Agbah and then took out the revius, then he has to pay for the entire barrel. Because then he became, by doing that bar, by doing that kinyan, he became the owner of that barrel. To which the Gemara says, Amish Moloi Notl Mamish, you don't have to take out anything from the barrel. Al Kivin Shek Bia Litol, once there was an intention to take from that barrel, Apish, and he did Hagbar, Apish Loi Notl, even though he didn't remove anything from the barrel, he will be held responsible. So ask the Gemara, a subject that we've learned many times in our shiurim, shouldn't this be a proof, asked the Gemara, Lemek HaSov Shmuel, that Shmuel's opinion obviously is that Shlichus Yad, to be considered an act of Shlichus Yad, ain't Tzar Chisar. You didn't have to do anything physical to alter what the object is. You could already be considered a Shaleich Yad. Because here we're saying you didn't even have to take out anything from the barrel. Amri, Loi. It doesn't necessarily mean that Shmuel's opinion is that Shlichus Yad requires chesar. Shani Hocha, he says, here, when you picked it up to take out this revius, you know, even though you didn't remove anything from the barrel, nichle, the person is satisfied that the entire barrel should be a base for the revius, because that's the way, as we just learned a moment ago, you're going to prevent the barrel, the contents of the barrel, from the wine in the barrel, from getting sour. But now, by it's considered like you took it out. Once you did Agbar to take out a revius, the halacha is it's considered as if you already took out a revius, and then you returned it. And therefore, you become responsible for the balance of the barrel. Bar Ravashi, Hegbia Anika, Hegbia Menatiner. Well, that's going to be a halacha if somebody picked up a wallet that's full of money, but his intention was only to take out dinner. What do we say? Ma, what will be the halacha then? We just said, that a wine barrel is unique because the whole barrel is necessary. But money in a wallet doesn't have, $1 in the wallet doesn't have any connection to the other dollar in the wallet. Avzuzah minter, the one wallet money has nothing to do with the rest. Adilma, shani the terasa the anakim and the terasa, and therefore, you can't say that you should have the entire wallet the same. We could say it's different because Even a wallet, even though obviously $1 is not going to be more protected when you have another dollar with it, but when you have a wallet that has more bills in it, so it's a wallet that people take more seriously, and they're going to do a better shmira. And therefore, by taking out even $1 from that barrel, what you might have caused is that people won't take the shmira of that wallet as seriously, and therefore you should be chayiv, even if you just took out one bill that isn't connected to another bill. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. Hadron l'chamafket, hadron l'chamafket, hadron l'chamafket. We begin the new perek be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach, the perek Azov. One of the halachas, which is presumably the most important halacha, or the basis of the perek that we're going to learn, is that when you buy metantlin, you need to do a kinyan. Paying for it is not considered a halachically acceptable method of doing a kinyan. What you need to do is a meshicha. Now, that means if I'm selling you something, so I'm selling you an object, and you're giving me money. So you're giving me money doesn't create a kinyan. What creates a kinyan? Me giving you the object. You doing a meshicha on the object which I am selling to you. So that means in a typical sale, there is a object that's being sold that will be called in our perek the pera, the fruit that I'm selling you. And then there's the tiva. There's the money that you are paying for this. And the Mishnah begins to discuss if there are different types of coins, different types of currency, and with exchanging them, which will be considered the payra, which is what you have to do mashicha on, and which will be considered the money, the tiva, which just by giving that, it wouldn't create a kinyan. So says the Mishnah, Zov koines a kesef ena koines azov. That means if we're making an exchange, I'm giving you gold and you're taking silver. So what is considered the payra and what is considered the tiva? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, that the Zov is considered the payra, and therefore the Meshicha has to be done in the Zov, and the Kesef is called the Tiva, and just giving the Kesef alone wouldn't affect the Kinyan. Of course, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, if that was done, that the person gave the money, and therefore we're learning now it's not considered an act of Kinyan, it's still wrong. The Gemara says somebody accepts a curse for doing this. It's still wrong to back out if it was done that way. And as we're going to learn, and the Rishonim point this out, just talk where there was nothing done at all. So of course a person should try to keep his word, but that doesn't bring any obligation. When the money was given, but there was no Kinyan, that is a situation where technically one could back out of the deal, but the person who backs out of the deal is going to get a klal of a mishapara. We'll speak about that in Mitzvah Shem. And of course, once there's a kinyan affected, one cannot back out of the deal. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained, the part we're learning now, Zov, Koines, Akasev. We know that the Torah is compared to Zov. As the Pasuk says, HaNazov, HaNachmodim, Izov, Mipoz, Rav. What he does is, HaZov, Koines, Akasev. If somebody connects himself to Torah, Kesef means Kisufim, he has desires. By connecting yourself to Torah, you're able to overpower the desires. Avol Kesef, Ena Koines, Azov. A person who is in the hands of Kesef, a person who is connected to his taivas, to his desires, Ena Koines, Azov. That's not the way you become a Talmud Chacham. The way you become a Talmud Chacham is by being able to overcome those desires. And now continues the Mishnah. And nechoshes koines kesef, the kesef ena koines nechoshes. So again, the Mishnah says that when you're exchanging silver and copper coins, the nechoshes is considered the payra, and the kesef is considered the kesef, and therefore you have to give the nechoshes. Just giving the kesef will not affect will not affect the kinyan. The Mishnah discussed the question of Nechoshes and Kesef. The Rishonim debate what's going to be with somebody's giving Kesef, where the deal is between Zov and Nechoshes. Which would be the Peirah and which would be the Tiva? It's a Machloikis Rishonim. The opinion of the Rajba is that the Nechoshes is considered the Kesef and the Zov is considered the Peri. But there are other Rishonim that say that the Rosh and says that the Zov is considered the Tiva and the Nechoshes is considered the Peri. Mas Haros, if you're exchanging coins, and there's Mas Haros, which are coins that are no longer in circulation, Kainas is the office, and you're exchanging those coins for coins that are in circulation. So the Mas Haros are considered the Peri, and the Mas Hayofis are considered the Tiva. And therefore, Mas Haros, Koinus Hayofis, but not vice versa, not Vayofis and Koinus Haros. Asimon, says the Mishnah, Asimon, Koinus Matbeah, Vamatbeah and Koinus Asimon. If you're exchanging a Koinus, a money and an Asimon, the Loch is that you're not, that the Asimon is considered the Tiva, and the Kesef is considered the Kesef. There's many different opinions how to define a sinner, a simon. Rashi says that it doesn't it's money that doesn't have on it an engravement or doesn't have on it a decent engraving. Rabbeinu Tam says that it was a coin, but it's no longer in a circulation. The Meiri says that it's the mold in which they used to make the coin. The Ramban says an asimon is something that was originally a coin, but it cracked or chipped, so therefore it's not considered a full-fledged coin. Asimon koinus ha-metbeya, v'metbeya ina koinus asimon. Metatlin koinus ha-metbeya, v'metbeya ina koinus metatlin. Again, which is, the Mishnah now speaks about the normal case. You're selling metatlin, and you're going to get metbeya for it. So the Mishnah teaches us that you have to do meshicha in the metatlin, but just giving the metbeya will not affect an irreversible kinyan. It says the Mishnah called metatlin kinezeze. But if you are exchanging metatlin one for the other, then the halacha is either one is considered an act of kinyan when you do a kinyan in one of them. And the Maharam Tishon will explain this halacha quite extensively. Ketzad, and now the Mishnah further illustrates what we just learned. Mashach imenu peiris, if I sell you peiris, and you did mashiach and the peiris, even though loynos loymos, even though you haven't given me any money yet, any yachlach boy, you can't, then the halacha is you can't back out. Nos loymos, but if you gave me money, however, but there was no Mashiach on the Paris, then technically, you could back out. Aval Omru Chazal Turos, the Misha Parma Anchi Dora Mabel, whoever punished the Dora Mabel, Midora Flaga, who Osadli Parma Mi Shaina Aimel Dorei. Somebody who doesn't keep his word will be punished. Rav Shimon disagrees. It says, Kol Shakesla Biyodai, whoever has the money, Yoda El Yona, he's in the stronger position, and therefore, if the person didn't pay, he could back out. But the person who's buying after he paid, the halacha is the person who paid cannot back out after he gave the money, but the seller is in the stronger position. We'll explain this in the Gemara. Of course, many Mefarshim ask, what is the connection to the Dora Mabel, to Dora Flaga, versus that the person who doesn't keep his word? So the Sefer Tveres Hatzin explains that a person, we know that a big part of the sin of the Dora Mabel and Dora Flaga was that they didn't keep their word. Where does it come for somebody who doesn't keep their word? Where does that emanate from? It all emanates from a person who doesn't have amunah. Somebody who has amunah, somebody who believes in Ashgacha Pratis, he would know that if he made a deal, even though he's dissatisfied with the deal, he has to keep it because that's what he agreed to do, and whatever will be good. And therefore, the Dar HaMabel and Dar HaFloga was that they demonstrated that they don't have a Munah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This person who enters a deal and then wants to back out of the deal is also demonstrating that he doesn't have a Munah. And therefore, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them for lack of a Munah, here also. I saw that the Pnei Menachem, the Gerer Rebbe, explains this klala this way. He says that normally we know how Chazal were so reluctant to curse anybody, to cause bad to anybody. However, this person who doesn't keep his word, Chazal feel the necessity to curse him. He says that what happened in the time of the Dar HaMabel and Dar HaFloga, the world became so corrupt. He says, the Medrash says that even the Malachim who came down to the world in the time of Dar HaMabel and Dar HaFloga got morally corrupt because the world was such a corrupt place. Noach was the first one that connected himself back to going on the right path. So he says, what was the thing that saved Noach? What was what Noach did that made him better? So he says, the pasuk says, Baal HaTeva. Teva, we know, can mean the ark that Noach constructed. It also means, Teva means words. Noach connected himself to the words of the Torah. But if somebody's words are meaningless, as is the case in our Mishnah, where somebody took upon himself to do something and then he backs out, so that person is the opposite of what Noach did by connecting himself to the words of Torah. He's speaking words that are dishonest, and therefore he will have the same punishment as the Dar HaMabel and Dar HaFloga. The Pnei Menachem gives another pshat. He says, we know that the Gemara in Masechta Nida says that before a child is born, Mashbina Yisoy Tei Tzadik Val Tei Rasha. So what does it mean, be a tzaddik and don't be a rasha? So it means it's not enough not to be a rasha. What you have to do is be a tzaddik. Do above and beyond what is expected from you. That's what he says. And the person who enters into a deal, and even though, as we've been saying in our shir, technically he's allowed to back out of the shir, out of the deal, he's not supposed to back out of the deal. So he says that in the Dar HaMabel, what was missing was that approach, that if I took upon myself something, I have to do it. And therefore, they were punished. And the same thing, somebody who doesn't keep his word is going to be punished. Another pshat that I saw from the Bava Rebbe is that Chazal, Masechta Brachos, that Vav and Beis teach us, Kol HaKavei Mokom HaTfilosoi, whoever establishes a place where he's going to daven, Avram Bozroy. What does that mean? Sometimes you have what does it mean, Kol HaKavei Mokom HaTfilosoi? Sometimes a person is davening, but he's really traveling all around the world. Kol HaKavei Mokom, that when he's davening, he just thinks about the davening, he just thinks about talking to Hashem. Elokei Aviv Be'ezroi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. But somebody who is Eina Emin Midiburoi, he says one thing and he does another thing, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that person I can't help. Another pshat that I saw from Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss Tzal, the Gaivir of the Eid HaCharedis, the Gemara Masechta Tainis, that Chav Zayin on the base says, Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, Amar Rav Asi, Amolim Amodos, Leniskai Mishmayim Va'aretz. Because the Pasuk says, Shinem Avyom Hashem Alakim, Avram says to Avram, Kadosh Baruch Hu, B'mei Eide Karishena, how will I know that my children will get Eretz Yisrael? And the Gemara explains, Amar Avram, Avram Avinu said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shem Yisrael Choytem Lefnecha, I'm concerned that maybe Klai Yisrael will do Averis, and Ata Oislahem Kedar Mibba Kedar Afloga. You will punish them like in the time of the Dar Mibba and Dar Afloga. Amalei lav. Hashem says it wouldn't happen. Amalei ribbono shel olam hodi eini. Show me how I'm guaranteed. Amalei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kholi eglim shleshes, bring a carbon. Amalei fanam, so Avraham Avinu says to Hashem, ribbono shel olam, tenech bezman shebeis HaMikdash kayim. Fine, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, they can bring carbonas. However, bezman shein Beis HaMikdash kayim matei lehem, when the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, what will protect them? Amalei kvah tokanti lehem say the carbonas, I established the bezman shekarim behem lefanai, when they learn and we say parshas carbonas, mal ani aleim kila krim lefanai, v'nei moich lemakala v'seyim. So now explains, what is the way that we are protected bezman hazeh when we don't have carbonas? That's only because we say and learn the parsha carbonas. But if somebody who doesn't watch what he says, he makes a deal and doesn't keep the deal, so then he doesn't have that protection. And therefore, the halacha is that he's punished with a mi shapara. Another pshat that I saw, that there was once that the Biyana Rebbe was once in Miron by Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And he said to the Chassidim, any of the Chassidim that will say to me one of the Mamorim of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, I will give him a coin. So one of the Chassidim said, well, we just learned now in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer shall call Shekesef B'yodai, Yodai El Yodai, whoever has the money is in a stronger position. What does that mean? Kol Shekesef B'yodai, if somebody is Kesef B'yodai, that he controls the, that he has Kisufim, his desires to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yodai El Yodai. But then I saw that the Sefer Likutei Bas Likutei has a different pshat. He says, Kol Shekesef B'yodai, says there are two types of individuals. There are some people that control their money. They have money, but they control their money. The life is not run and controlled by the money that they have. On the contrary, they control the money. But there are people who the money and their desire for money control their lives. Says the Mishnah, says of Shimon Yochai, Kol Shekesef B'yodai, somebody who controls his money, the kesef is in his hands, he's the one that controls the money, then Yodai El Yonai, then he's the one that will be in the stronger position. Says the Mishnah. Masnei Rebbe of Shimon Berei, Rebbe taught his son, Rav Shimon, Hazav Koines HaKesef, as we just learned in our Mishnah. Amalei, so Rav Shimon said to his father, Rebbe, Shenisalana B'yudasecha, when you were younger, you taught us just the opposite. You taught us that Kesef Koines Hazav. Now, Tachsav Teshenalana B'suknasecha, now are you reversing yourself and you're saying Hazav Koines HaKesef? Then Rav Shimon meant to ask his father, what does this mean? Does it mean that you retracted what you said, or does it mean that you forgot what you said? Of course, a very, very big difference. Also, the Paiskim say, from this Gemara, we learn a very important halacha. Here, we're learning that when Rav Shimon was speaking to his when Rav Shimon was speaking to his father, he didn't call him father. He called him Rebbe. And from here we see that when there are two titles, there's the title of Rebbe and there's the title of Abba, that the title of Abba, of Rebbe, is a more significant title. That's why he called him Rebbe. Says the Gemara, but Yodosu may suffer. So the Gemara now is assuming that he changed his mind. And therefore asked the Gemara, but Yodosu may suffer, what was his opinion when he was younger? But Zukunosu may suffer, what was his opinion when he got older? Says the Gemara, B'yadusa Savar, that when he was young, he said that what is the determining factor is what is more valuable. And therefore, he thought the Hava the Chshiva, that gold is more significant than silver. So therefore, the gold is the Teva, And the kasev, the silver, which is less significant than the gold, is the peira. The kana, and therefore, as we keep on learning in our shir, the kana lay peira lativa. However, the zignesai sover, as he got older, he changed his opinion. And he held kasp the charif. Silver is what's typically used in currency. Since silver is what is typically used in currency, that's why it's called the tiva. Whereas the tava, the gold, the like charif, people don't typically use gold for currency. That's the peira. And the aloha is kind of like peira la tiva. Amare Ravashi, says Ravashi, ki yalduse mistaber. It makes more sense to follow the version that Rebbe learned when he was young. Midik Tani, because let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in the Chayshis Kainas Akesef. That means in the Chayshif, the Nechayish is considered Peira versus Kesef. Says the Gemara, Iyam Bishlam Kaspa Lagaba to have a Peira Ava. If we'll say that when we have Kesef and Zov, that the Kesef is the Peiri and the Zov is the Tiva, Hanidiktani, we could understand when the Tana continued to teach us that Hanidiktani, the Chayish is Kainas a Kesef. The Afagav, and the Mishnah is teaching us, the Afgav del Gaba de Hava, and we compare Kesef to Zov, the Kesef is the Peri, the Gab and the Chayshis, when we compare it in the Chayshis, Tiva Hava, it changes and it becomes Tiva. Eli Amrit, Kasp del Gaba de Hava, even when we're comparing silver and gold, the silver is the Tiva Hava, so says the Gemara, Hash del Gaba de Hava. If we're comparing silver and gold, which everybody agrees, the Choshimenei, that the gold is more significant than the silver, Amr Tiva Havi, we still call the Kesef the Kesef because it's more in currency. So when we compare it to the Choshis, when it has everything in its favor that it should be considered Tiva, A, the Choshif, silver is more significant than gold, and B, the charif, it's also much more in currency. So certainly, Mibai, why would the Mishnah need to teach us? Says the Mara, that isn't the compelling proof, because itzrich. Sakadat chamina, hani priti, when we have copper coins, ba'asya the sagye in a charif tfei mikaspa, that maybe copper coins are more in currency than silver. Ba'asya the sagye in a charif tfei mikaspa, ema. So therefore, we maybe would think that silver versus gold, the silver versus copper, the copper is considered the tiva, kamash malon. So that's what the Mishnah had to teach us. The kivin the ikaduchta doy sagabe. In some places, they didn't use copper coins, and therefore, compared to silver, it's always considered peirehavim. Says the Gemara of Afrabihiyasover, Rabbi Chiya's opinion was that the havet tiva havi. He also agrees that when we compare gold to silver, the gold is the coin. The Rav Oiz of Dinri Mibarta of Chia. Rav borrowed gold coins from the daughter of Chia. And Lebsoif Iyakad Dinri. And then the price of gold went up. Also Kameid of Chia. And now he came to Rav Chia if he can give back the same amount of coins that he borrowed. Because if he's going to give back the same amount of coins as he borrowed, then it turns out that he's ribbis, because he's giving back more than he received. It says the Gemara, Amalei, so Chia told him, Zil Shalom la Tavim v'taklin, give her the exact same coins. Iyam b'shalom tahava tivahava, if we're going to say that gold is considered a coin. So the problem of giving back more, if I borrow a dollar from you, and I return the dollar to you, even though the value of dollars might have fluctuated, it doesn't. That's not considered ribbis. Eli Amit, but if we're going to call gold peira hava, the loch is havale saw besaw. The loch is if I borrow from you a commodity, under many circumstances, midrabbanan, I can't give you back that same commodity because it's worth more. Says the Gemara, that is again not a proof. Because Rav didn't have a lay. Rav, at the time that he borrowed those gold coins, already had gold coins in his possession. The Kivin Davalei Dinri, hence he had gold coins, Nasa Ka'imala, it's as if the case is considered where he says to me, let's say I borrow something from you that I have. I just don't have access to it. And I say, wait till my son comes. My son will come. I'll be able to pay you back. The money is in a safe. I have to get the key. So then, even if it's a commodity, it's not considered. Even if it's going to be a case of a commodity, it's not going to be considered sabasa. It's a very interesting situation. What would be if you borrow coins, you borrow money in a place where that is not the currency of that place? In other words, let's say you're going to borrow dollars in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, the coins are a shekel. So do we say that dollars in Eretz Yisrael are considered a commodity? And if there's an issue of a commodity, then you would have a problem with sabasah. Or do we say that since so much business is done in Eretz Yisrael with dollars, even though it's not really the local commodity, it's considered not the local currency, it is considered like currency. So Rav Yaakov Bloy, in his Sefer Bris Yehuda, says since most currency in Eretz Yisrael, the local currency is shkolim, even if people use dollars for doing business, it doesn't make a difference. It's not considered a currency. And therefore, as we just learned in the Gemara, you could only borrow dollars with the certain conditions where you don't have a problem sabasa. If you're going to borrow a dollar and pay back dollar, and that's wrong. Amar Rava, Hai Tana Sover, says the Gemara, that this Tana holds, the Hava Tiva Hava, that gold is always considered the currency, the Tanya. Pruta Shamru, when the Torah speaks about a pruta in various areas of halacha, is Echa Mishmana Be'isa Atalki. The way it's evaluated is Echa Mishmana Be'isa Atalki. L'may Nafkamina, what do we have to know? How much is the value of pruta? L'kdusha Isha, because you can't be Mekadosh and Isha with less than a pruta. Visser, and how much is an Issa? Echad Me'esr V'arba B'dinah Shel Kesef, a 24th of a dinah Kesef, says the Gemara. Why do we have to know that? If you're selling, if you're trading dinner kesef, you have to know how much to get. The dinner kesef, and a dinner of kesef is a 25th of the dinner zav. Again, because we have to know, the Torah says that when we make a pinyan aben, the halacha is, you have to give the koyin chamesh shkolim, and we have to figure that out. That we have to give him 20 dinrei kesef. So, Nadagmar makes a point. If we're going to say that gold, tiva hava, is considered currency, mishah tana, that's why we understand that the tana, when he wants to show us how much of the chamish shkel and pinyin aben, but me did the kids. He uses gold, which is a standard currency. Eli Amrit. Pay Rehava, if we can say that gold is not considered a currency, it's considered a commodity. B'sha'at Tane B'midah Doik V'zil. When we speak about a commodity is something that fluctuates. Zim de Mahadalei Kahana, Zim de Maislei Kahana. Then if we're going to use that as the starting point, then the kohen doesn't know exactly how much to get. El Shmamino, from here we see Tiva Hava Shmamino, the gold is considered currency. Tanan Hosom. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah in Masechta Maaseh Sheni, Perek Beis Mishnah Zayin, regarding somebody who has Baruch Hashem an abundance of fruit, Maaseh Sheni fruit, that the loch is that fruit is taken up to Yerushalayim, and the money or if you don't want to take the fruit, you can redeem it, and you could buy with the food in Yerushalayim. Says the Mishnah, B'shamar Meloyasa Adam Slayim Don Yizav, somebody who has silver coins that have in the Maaseh Sheni. He can't make them into gold because a person would want to do so because he wants to make silver into gold because gold obviously is much more valuable than silver and he wouldn't have to carry so much gold. Rav Yochanan and Shlokish, Amar. So now Rav Yochanan and Shlokish come to explain this machloikis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Chanam machloikis v'boas sloim al dinrim. When somebody wants to turn sloim into dinrim. The Beis Shammai sava kas b'tiva. That Beis Shammai's opinion is that kesef, it's silver coins are considered currency. For the hav is considered commodity. For tiva per le mechalinen. The halacha is you can't take ma'aser sheni money and redeem them for peiros, which he holds is considered with gold is considered peira. We sell it some kas peira, just the opposite. For the hav a tiva or peira tiva mechalinen. Av or peiros al dinarim to redeem. For the norm of Zav, everybody will agree that that's acceptable. Says the word my tama, needed to have a kessel Beis Hillel. Just like Beis Hillel holds that you could take gold, silver, just like Beis Hillel holds that you could take silver and turn into gold, kessel Beis Hillel, avagav the kaspel gav the have a pay rava, even though when we compare silver to gold, Beis Hillel's opinion is that the silver is a commodity and the gold is currency. But when we compare silver to peira, tivahava, everybody will agree it's considered a currency. And therefore, zov namil Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai's opinion is going to be that afgav the hava legabe kaspa, says the Gemara, even though Beis Shammai's opinion is that the zov is the peiri, and the kesef is the currency, the gaba peri, when we compare gold to actual fruit, tivahava. And the Chan Amar, says the Gemara, that the other man Dama holds that is of the opinion, af peris al dinir mechloikis. According to Beis Shammai, zov is always considered peri, and therefore you can't exchange fruit for zov, under any circumstance.